This week, April 15th, 2014, on The Digital Story. Lightroom's Monster Update. Fujifilm X-T1 Full Review. And Carousel by Dropbox. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I have a terrific show for you today. Lots going on. In our weekly update, we have a good camera review that I think you're going to be interested in. And then Adobe was busy with Lightroom, and boy, I got a lot to talk about there. That monster update. Dropbox also had a little bit going on, and they dropped Carousel on us, and definitely have to talk about that on the Nimbelocity report. And then for Screening Room, I have a terrific entry for you on Screening Room today. A photojournalist documents his own family. So good stuff, and you know what? I should get started right now. So let's go with the weekly update. And the top story, DP Review just released their full review of the Fujifilm X-T1. And I'll tell you, this camera is really catching the eye of a lot of photographers. Mirrorless camera, great lens selection. Fujifilm has been doing a fantastic job. And then they release this model, which is also, you know, water resistant, very robust body, fast autofocusing, great features, analog look. I mean, it's the whole package. And what DP Review said in their review that I think just went up today, the day that I'm recording, is that the X-T1 is probably Fujifilm's best camera to date, offering a compelling combination of intuitive handling, excellent image quality, and one of the best electronic viewfinders we've seen. It also features one of the most impressive autofocus systems on any camera at this price level, both in terms of accuracy with fast lenses and tracking moving subjects. Overall, it's a hugely engaging and capable camera, and one that's fundamentally a joy to use. And based on those comments, they gave it a gold award with an 84% rating, which is a very high rating. And you know what? I was just pleased as punch to see that review come out so well. I was hoping that the X-T1 would fare well under critical eyes, which it has. I would say right now that Fujifilm is definitely one of my favorite camera manufacturers. Those of you that follow the blog know that I love shooting with my Fujifilm X20, and I wouldn't mind having this X-T1 either. I tell you, it's a great-looking camera. And those of you that haven't committed in the mirrorless space yet, boy, I don't know which way you'd want to go. I mean, between what Olympus and Panasonic and Sony and Fujifilm's doing, not an easy choice at all. Not an easy choice at all. And the X-T1 is going to make it just that much harder. Okay, on to our next story. This is actually a follow-up to a piece last week when we were talking about Sigma's 50mm f1.4 Art lens and how it was just really doing well in terms of lens testing. SLR Gear gave it a review and they loved it. And we were saying, we hope that this thing isn't too expensive and that it comes in, you know, less than $1,700 or so for a lens that's basically top of its class. And that's compared to just about anyone. Well, today, the other shoe dropped and we found out the price. It wasn't today, it was actually this week. We found the price and Sigma announced the lens for both Canon, Nikon, Sony, and Sigma mounts will come in at $949. Basically, what Imaging Resource said was this. Sigma announces price for 50mm f1.4 Art lens. It's official. Sigma owns the 50mm space. Well, I don't think that is hyperbole. I think that definitely coming in with a lens that's basically top quality, I don't think anyone's really going to top it in terms of how it performs in the lab or in the field. And at $949, that one's going to be tough to beat. Congratulations to Sigma and hats off for giving us a good price on that lens. And finally, this is from Petapixel, a little scuttlebutt on the Canon 7D Mark II. This camera originally came out, the Mark I, in September 2009. So that is a long time ago in the world of DSLR cameras. And over the last few years, I think a lot of people who like shooting with the 7D, which is, you know, a tough professional body, fast, very fast autofocusing, fast burst rate, you know, it's just a solid crop sensor camera, have been waiting for the update to this camera. And I mean, for a while, I mean, really, I think the rumors started on it a couple years ago. Well, it appears that the delay, the current delay, this is rumor, it appears that the current delay is due to the sensor manufacturing. The 7D will be an upgraded version of what we have in the 70D right now. And it appears there are a few little problems back in the plant producing those babies. So the current guess is late summer or early fall for the release of the Canon 7D Mark II. We'll see how that goes. I mean, again, this is rumor. We don't have any facts from Canon at all. So if you're jonesing for the update, the 7D Mark II, looks like you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. And that is this week's weekly update. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to this latest release from Lightroom 5.4. And as I said in the show notes, it's a whopper. And, you know, when Adobe announced Lightroom 5.4, it really kind of came in two waves. The first wave had to do, and they did this at Photoshop World, by the way. The first wave came with Lightroom Mobile. So they announced Lightroom Mobile, which means you can now have a version of Lightroom that runs on an iPad. So they had to update desktop Lightroom to be compatible, because the way that Lightroom Mobile works is that you have a free download for your iPad, but until you sync it with a desktop version of Lightroom through Creative Cloud, you really can't do anything with the mobile version. So the mobile version depends on the ability to sync. So what they had to do then was update the desktop versions of Lightroom to be compatible with Lightroom Mobile. And so that was the first wave. That was the first news story that came out. Then the second wave was when some of us, you know, had a chance to play with Lightroom Mobile. And I'll talk a bit more about that in a second. But we kept looking at the release notes for 5.4 and going, man, there is a lot of stuff in here. And there was. So there was a whole bunch of raw profile updates, including a raw profile for the X-T1 that I just talked about by Fujifilm, including raw profile support for my Olympus EM10, which I'm very happy about. And it's the first, you know, non-Olympus raw compatible application, and a whole bunch of others. So you had all these raw updates that we were sort of waiting for, people that were either testing new cameras or had purchased new cameras. Then a whole bunch of color profile updates, and that was really cool. And one of the color profile updates that I was really excited about is that they put the Fujifilm film simulation modes in Lightroom. Okay, what does that mean? Well, for those of you that haven't had a chance to play with a Fujifilm camera, any of the X series cameras, one of the things that they include is film simulation. And I know I've talked about this before because I'm really jazzed by it. I love it. You know, Fujifilm made great films. I mean, when I was shooting film, I shot Fujifilm and I shot Kodak. I shot them both depending on what I wanted to do. And I loved Fuji's emulsions. I thought they were just beautiful films. So they know film. And so then they applied that know-how to creating film simulation modes in the camera. So then you can program your camera through the click of a couple buttons to shoot in Velvia mode, to shoot in Provia mode, to shoot in black and white mode. And these film simulations are gorgeous. They're just absolutely beautiful, especially for those of us that know film, gave us a chance to go, you know, I know in my brain how I want this image to look. I know what corresponding film will give me that look, and then I can just switch to it. The problem was that when I shoot in film simulation, I usually have to shoot in RAW plus JPEG, and the film simulation is applied to the JPEG. Well, that wasn't a huge problem. I mean, those JPEGs look gorgeous. Now, what Lightroom has done has added those same film simulation filters or profiles inside of Lightroom. So then I can shoot RAW files with the camera, and I can, if I don't want to, I don't have to shoot the JPEGs. I can just shoot RAW files and then apply those film simulation profiles in post. So then I can have the RAW file up on my screen in Lightroom and say, all right, how would it look as Fujifilm Velvia? How would it look as Fujifilm Provia? And go on down the line. And so, you know, we've done a little preliminary testing with it. I've done some testing. Some other bloggers have done some testing. And it's pretty accurate. What they have done in Lightroom is pretty accurate to the JPEGs that would come out of the camera. So this is neat. This is like another one of those things that's in Lightroom 5.4 that is, you know, very cool. Lens profiles. You know, a lot of people really like the fact that you can do lens corrections in Lightroom, and they've added more profiles to, you know, make that even more interesting and more usable. So all of this is in this latest update, in addition to the compatibility with Lightroom Mobile. So it's a monster update. It's a free update. And I guess I should go back to Lightroom Mobile for a second, because even though all these other things are cool, this is the headline, right? Lightroom Mobile, Lightroom on an iPad. And it's not without controversy. And the controversy is this. If you want to use Lightroom Mobile right now, you need Lightroom 5.4, which means you need Lightroom 5, however you get it, and then update it to 5.4, which is free. Okay, that part's not hard. And then you download Lightroom Mobile from the App Store. Well, that part's not hard. And then you have 30 days where you can sync the two. And you have to have an Adobe ID for that. Most of us that use Adobe products have one already. That's free. And I mean, the hardest part of that is remembering, you know, what your login information is. So you do that, you set it all out. And then up in the upper left-hand corner of Lightroom 5.4, it'll say, hey, trial period, you got 30 days to play with this. And you can do anything you want with this for 30 days. At the end of that period, what you have to do then is upgrade to Creative Cloud, if you don't have it already, in order to keep using Lightroom Mobile. And this is where the controversy comes in, because basically, what you have to do to use Lightroom Mobile is convert to Adobe's subscription service. Now, right now, they're offering the subscription service, the photographer's special or whatever they call it. That includes Photoshop Creative Cloud and Lightroom Creative Cloud and Lightroom Mobile. Some storage space, a fair amount of storage space, access to Behance, you know, some other goodies. It's a nice package. It's a very nice package. For the special price, limited time, they've extended it a few times now, but for the limited time price of $9.99 a month. You know, when you do the math on this, $10 a month over the course of a year is $120. And you're going to get updates to Lightroom and Photoshop. You're going to get Lightroom Mobile. You're going to get all the other goodies. You get not free storage space. You get storage space. You're paying for it. So all that for $120 a year really isn't bad. But some people just don't like the fact they're tied into now a subscription service, as opposed to buying the application, choosing when they want to update the app, and paying for it then. Now, either updating Lightroom or updating Photoshop is probably going to cost you at least $120 a year under the old system. So they're not, I don't think they're really, getting you for more money. It's the idea of being tied into a subscription service, I think, that bothers some people. Then the other thing is, how long does the $9.99 run, right? I mean, if it stays $9.99 a month forever, that's a good deal, right? That's a good deal. I mean, there's no way to argue that $120 a year for this bundle is great. I mean, you're going to be current on everything. You're going to get the latest technology. You're going to get all the raw profile updates, the lens corrections, the color profile. You get the whole gamut for $120 a year. But then the concern is, well, what happens if it goes back to what they were originally talking about, which is $29.99 a month, $30 a month? Well, then that's a lot different. Suddenly, now you go from $120 a year to $360 a year. I mean, it's not highway robbery by any stretch of the imagination, but it's certainly not as appealing as $120 a year. And, you know, this is considering that we have all these other things that we're paying for right now. I mean, these things start to add up. You know, you have your mobile phone fees. You have whatever cloud storage you're paying for. And I'm going to talk about Dropbox here in an upcoming story, which has a fee associated with it. You have, you know, all these things now suddenly that we're starting to pay for. And if you add them all up, it does start to look a little expensive. And so I think that's the concern. Not only are we putting another fee on top of things, but we're not sure what that fee is going to be 1, 2, 3 years from now. And, you know, and if you stop using the cloud service, then you don't have access to, you know, all the latest stuff anymore. And so that can really be a setback to your workflow. So that is where the controversy is with Lightroom Mobile. Now, in terms of how the application itself works, I think it's pretty cool. Some people have expressed disappointment in it. I'm not really one of them. Essentially, what you do in Lightroom, you create a collection, which I do anyway, which is, you know, a virtual collection of images. And then you denote that collection for syncing. And it's very easy to do. You can just click right on the collection. There's a little icon right next to it. You just say sync it. So then Lightroom prepares those files for syncing, and then you open up your iPad and there they are in Lightroom Mobile. And you can edit them. The image editing tools in Lightroom Mobile are really super good. The organizational tools are right now a little basic. I mean, you can flag things, and I think that's pretty much it. I don't think you can keyword right now in Lightroom Mobile. So basically what you can do is image edit and view. And I think show slideshow. But it's still kind of cool. You know, for instance, if you're getting ready to take off from home and you want to have a batch of images on your iPad, you can just activate that collection on Lightroom Mobile and then, you know, there they are. And then you can play with them. I think it works really well. The syncing is fast. The tools are really good in Lightroom Mobile. This is a 1.0. So we're definitely going to see a lot more going on with it. I mean, right now, they just wanted to make sure everything was wired up and that the basic tools were there. They're going to continue to enhance this. And my guess is over the course of the next year or so, we're going to see some nice updates. So I think the app itself is pretty cool and works well. I would personally love to have something like this for Aperture also. I think it would be fantastic, and I would not complain at all if it behaved basically the same way, other than having to be part of Creative Cloud. Have I signed up for Creative Cloud? I mean, you know, that's sort of the big question, right? I haven't. I'm on my 29-day free trial. I have Photoshop. I think I haven't done Photoshop Creative Cloud. I think I have Photoshop 6 on my computer. I have Lightroom 5.4, and I don't have Creative Cloud. And I'm already now, like, I think a week into my trial period. So I'm going to have to make a decision. And I don't know what that decision's going to be. I'm torn. There's a part of me that you know, really doesn't want to sign up for Creative Cloud. And there's another part of me that thinks, well, I'd be silly if I didn't. And I don't know the answer. Fortunately, I still got a couple weeks to mull it over. So anyway, that is the latest Lightroom update. It's interesting. There's a lot there. Adobe's done a great job with it. There's some controversy. I mean, you've got everything. you've got the whole drama right here in 5.4. If you're a Lightroom user, look at the new features. Look at the new lens corrections and color profiles and all that good stuff. If you have an iPad too, I would play with Lightroom Mobile. At least do the trial period to see if you like it or not. If you're a Creative Cloud user already, you're in, right? Fire it all up and have some fun. So it's a good update. It's a good update, and I'll let you know what I decide to do. Okay. I still haven't made up my mind. Let's move into the screening room. I really like this week's screening room. It's shooting a photo essay, telling a family story with Paul Taggart. Paul Taggart is a photojournalist by trade. This is what he does. And he's also a storyteller, which, a good photojournalist should be. Now, I don't know Paul, but I was really attracted to this particular title. And then I go, this is just neat. Because to me, in a lot of ways, this is one of the important sides of photography, where for a week, Paul decides to take his skills, go back home to Oklahoma, and focus on his brother for a week. This will be the first chapter of Paul telling his family story. So for a week, he goes back there. He just basically follows his brother around. He interviews him. He takes pictures of, the things that his brother really enjoys doing. He loves astronomy. He loves his family. He's a father. All this stuff. And so Paul documents that. I like his approach. I like his images. And I like the idea of us just saying, hey, wait a minute. Here we have developed a skill over the years. We have this investment in gear that is, high quality. We're doing a lot of stuff for us. We can also do something, for our family or, for history in all sense, which of course is something for us too, because it's our family. I encourage you to watch the movie. I like Paul's narration. I like his approach. I like his pictures. It's a terrific entry for this week's screening room. And you can watch it by going to lynda.com/thedigitalstory. That's our screening room landing page there. Paul's intro movie will be there. You can watch it. And I think you'll see what I mean by right away going, this is cool. And then, of course, if you decide that you want to do more and you haven't activated your 7-day free trial, you can do it right there on the landing page. But this is a good one. I mean, they're all good. Seriously, I spend a lot of time, making the picks for this segment of the show. But I'm very, very excited about shooting a photo essay, telling a family story with Paul Taggart. It's a great one, and I'm very happy that he's this week's choice for the TDS screening room. All right, let's get to the Nimbelocity report. Boy, I mean, so much going on this week, and I am happy about that. So, we have Lightroom Mobile, we have Lightroom 5.4, we have a lot of chatter about different hardware, and then Dropbox announced Carousel. And I tell you, I think they solved a real problem with Carousel. So what is it? It's an application that you can download for the iPhone or an Android mobile device. As of right now, it isn't an iPad app or will even show up on the iPad. At least I couldn't get it to show up on the iPad. So I'm using it exclusively on the iPhone. And if you have an Android device, it works there also. And what they've done is that they have created, I think, a really nice user interface that helps you manage all of the photos that you have in Dropbox. One of the things that I like about it is that, you download the app, you log into your Dropbox account if you have one. If not, you can create one right there on the spot, and they'll give you 2 gigs to play with for free. So it won't cost you anything to take a look at this. And then it'll go into your Dropbox folder area, and it'll find all the JPEG, all the pictures that are in there, and the movies too. And then it puts them in this interface that is organized chronologically. Up and down you can scroll, and it'll have the date of this collection of photos. So if you took 42 photos on March 11th, it'll show like the first 8 or so. and then it'll give you a box with a number for how many more are there. If you shot them with an iPhone or anything that geotagged the images, it'll also tell you the location where those shots are. And then you can just browse through them, and it'll find all the shots in your Dropbox, no matter which folder they're in, any of that stuff. Which was really interesting to me, because when I activated Carousel, and I was just sort of scrolling through the timeline there, I was going, wait, where did those photos come from? I didn't even know I had those photos in Dropbox. And I actually had to go back and dig through my Dropbox and find some of these buried folders where these photos were showing up. So it was really kind of neat how well it worked. Then you also have a scale at the bottom, which allows you to do the timeline faster. And you know, it goes from, it's a month year thing. And so if you use the scale at the bottom, then you can just go boom to March 2010 or whatever really fast. It's very easy to use. It seems well written, because it was really flying on my iPhone 5S in terms of performance. Now, if there are photos that show up that you don't want in your carousel, let's say client photos, and you have another client looking at carousel and you don't want them to see the other stuff, you can hide them. It's really easy to hide them. And if you hide them, then what you have to do is go into settings and then say, you know, hidden photos, and then you can see them all there, and you can unhide them once, the one client's gone. And so you can move them in and out. So, and I think that's a nice touch too, because, you know, the carousel, you just want to be able to enjoy and free and all that sort of stuff. And then if there's a few shots that you don't want to take out of your Dropbox, but you don't want in your carousel, you can just hide them. And it really solves the problem well. The question about this, or the concern about this, is similar to what I was talking about earlier with Mobile Lightroom, which is, well, if I have all my photos stored, backed up through Dropbox, and you can set it up so that every picture that you take with your mobile device goes into a folder in Dropbox. And so you get this really lovely, easy to use automated backup, which is what we want, right? We want to protect our stuff. But over time, megabytes and possibly gigabytes add up. How much is that going to cost me? And, you know, Dropbox is not the cheapest of the bunch. You can get storage space on Google Plus for cheaper. You can get a terabyte on Flickr for free. So Dropbox is not cheap. I think they have a plan, though, that you can activate, and you can actually activate it through Carousel. I think they call it the photographer plan or something like that, pro photographer plan. And for $99 a year, they give you, I think, probably more than enough storage space that most photographers would need. Now, one more wrinkle I want to put on this is that if you're a Mac user, Dropbox also has this ability to back up your iPhoto library. This is really neat. I mean, now we're talking about automatically integrating the images that we take with our camera phones and the images that we're working with on our computer in our iPhoto library, and they all just sort of roll up into a carousel, and they're all there and stored chronologically. So every time you add a batch of photos to iPhoto, it goes into your carousel also. I mean, it works well. I like the interface. It's easy to use. You can do stuff with the images once they're in carousel. You can share them. You can post them to socials. You can save them to your camera roll. So for instance, if you have a bunch of photos in iPhoto that show up in carousel and you go, ooh, I'd like to have that one in my camera roll so I can put it on Instagram. Super easy to do. So again, I think for me testing this, it came down to price again. And, you know, is Dropbox a service that you like? Is it a service you're already paying for? Is it one that you're willing to pay for? If it's yes to any of those, then I would take a look at this solution, because I think it's pretty good. And, you know, you can try it again, 2 gigabytes for free, and see what you think. And then the other thing that needs to happen is I need an iPad version, because it's really weird just to have it on the iPhone and not on the iPad. Because I use my iPad so much for publishing and photography. So I want the iPad version too. Hopefully that will come before too long. So it's another thing to look at. So you have Lightroom Mobile to look at. You have Carousel by Dropbox to look at. Wow, who knows what we're going to get next week, right? Anyway, so that is that report, and I think it's pretty good. This is a Nimbleosity report, and by the way, it's brought to you by The Nimble Photographer at thenimblephotographer.com, where there's all sorts of goodies waiting for you. Okay, let's move on to some Virtual Camera Club news. I'm running a bit long this week, so I'll try not to dilly-dally here. Let's start out with workshop news. I've sent out the invites to the reserve list for the Fall Color of Safari West, which is on October 24th through the 26th this year. And if you're on that reserve list and you haven't gotten an invite, make sure you send me email, derek@thedigitalstory.com. And if you're interested in this fantastic workshop, just go to the TDS workshops page on the Digital Story. Go to send me info, choose Safari West, and I'll get you an invite right away. This one is filling up nicely, and but there's still some room left. So if you want to join in on the fun, we'd love to have you. The photo assignment for April is Flower Power. And you have till the end of the month to send in your image. If you have any questions about that, just go to the member info page on the Digital Story. And one of those entrants will receive a Sizzle Picks, because they will be selected by Sizzle Picks himself as the pick of the month. And by the way, Sizzle Picks is running a spring sale right now where you can get 20% off any Sizzle Picks that you order, any size, any quantity. And all you have to do is put The Digital Story or TDS in the comments field, and they will take 20% off your order. So not only are they sponsoring the photo assignment, they're also giving us a discount this month, and I think that's really cool. Sizzle Picks, like a retina display that you can hang on the wall. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story, and you can go directly to their site at sizzlepix.com, sizzlpix.com. Also want to mention that I'm looking to update the reviews for the podcast in iTunes. And if you've done a review, I really appreciate it. If you haven't done a review yet in iTunes, if you would, that would be really nice. I like to have current reviews there. And finally, I'd like to mention our friends over at Red River Paper. You can find out more about them by going to their Facebook page, facebook.com/redriverpaper. And they also have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this week. Sorry that I ran a bit long, but so many good things to talk about. And more coming next week. Oh, I've got some stuff I'm working on. I'm so excited about. So take some pictures. Check out, you know, Lightroom Mobile. Check out Dropbox Carousel. Make, you know, get your, you know, mobile act together if you haven't yet. And see what you think. I'll work on new stories for next week. We'll meet back here and we'll have a great time. Until then, have a terrific week. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.